All right, Jason, can you give me a sound check real quick?
Yeah, check 1, 2. It's Jason Van Sickle.
Keep going.
Jason Van Sickle, testicles, 1, 2, 3. Testes, 1, 2, 3.
Keep going.
What else can I say? Check 1, 2. Should I get a little closer to the microphone so I can sound like Barry White and really kind of turn you on over
there? That does sound like Barry White. Yes,
baby. I'm only a little bit turned on. Check,
so. Only a little bit. So
yeah, you got to
turn up the butter.
You got to do better than that.
All right.
Oh, you said butter. That's it. I'm so wet right now. Okay. Are you going to be about that far?
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and give me just a quick little.
So this is what my normal speaking voice would be if I'm talking back to you guys and I get excited a little bit, blah, blah.
Yeah, all right. Sweet.
All right. Pause for dramatic effect.
Does that sound good to you, Micah? You can hear everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
You have a good voice. Like, I feel like I could hear you on the radio.
Oh, thank you. I did some early on in my early 20s. I did voiceover.
Oh, sweet.
But I was never
nice.
I was never character driven. I was always kind of dry, newsy,
oh,
sterile.
Yeah.
I could read instructions like nobody's business.
Micah, do me a favor. Can you move that microphone any closer to you? The blue?
No.
If you can't, that's fine.
Not really. I mean, let's see if I can get creative.
If you can't, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because I can hear you okay.
Yeah, I can't because this is where the desk is and the mic is like, she's sitting right here. I've made it a female, apparently.
Oh, right. So. I mean, it's okay if it's in the shot. If you have to put it in the shot to get it closer, that's fine.
It's not covering my face.
No.
I'm pressing buttons on my keyboard. Hold on a second. I can do this.
Yeah, I just want to be able to hear you clearly. That's the main focus of this is the sound,
right.
Not so much the video.
Yes. Okay, cool. And I can't see myself, which is a bonus because I won't be distracted. Like,
so it blocks that little part. All right, so I know we've been talking for a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and get started because we haven't started yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Nonsense.podcast. It has been quite a while since we have done an episode, and that is for many reasons. One, Shane and Amanda had a baby. So they are taking care of him. Micah got engaged. And there's a bunch of stuff going on there. Plus, she lives in Chicago, so it's hard to link up with her all the time. I have started several endeavors where I've got a lot of stuff going on. So we finally got back into the studio, and it's a new studio with one of my endeavors. I've started with a company called Brand Advocacy Group. We've started like a marketing, talent management, video production agency that does all kinds of that kind of stuff. So this is our studio. So we're going to be recording in here. And now on this episode, I met one of my friends, Jason, that you see over here. He is an 8-time Emmy nominated, 5-time Emmy award winning director and editor, which I can't say that enough because I'm so impressed by that.
Thank you.
Jason, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like what happened with all that kind of stuff? And
oh man, long story short, I actually started out as a traditionally trained artist, pen and pencil, ink, watercolors, sculpture, painting, everything. I went to Arts Magnet High School at Booker T. Washington in downtown Dallas, which is one of the famed schools in Chicago and New York.
So you're like what I should have been if I would have tried. Because, like, I didn't.
You had your full potential.
Right. Yeah, because I went to Magnet School, and I was in fine arts, and I did, like, art, and I did violin and piano and gymnastics and all this kind of stuff, and I never pushed myself to, like, go any further. Like, I mean, I do what I do now, but, like, I haven't won any Emmys and I haven't like really worked on any film sets or anything like that. So like, I'm super, super jealous of all the stuff you've gotten to do.
And I know that there's a certain romanticism about our industry. And then, you know, I also taught for film school out in LA and we'd all get all these new, you know, young talents and they're like, I'm ready to gung ho and blah, blah.
Right.
And then I got to do what? I got to carry what? You know, I got to sweat, you know, yeah, there's things that, And being, you know, at the bottom of the rung of production assistant, sometimes you just get coffee or you stand there in direct traffic. I mean, that's
right. You know, when I first like started thinking about movies and stuff like that, I was like, what is it like? You know, like whenever I'm working on one or my friends or whatever, when we were younger making stuff, we're like, oh, we need tape and cardboard and like pieces of paper to do this. And then you're like, when you get in the big leagues and stuff, there's like, you've got to have Like, they've got everything is made properly. Like, they're going to use, like, fiberglass and plastic and stuff. You get there, and it's, like, cardboard and tape. And, like, it's the exact same kind of stuff.
Clothespins, clamps. Yep.
Yeah, you don't expect
tin
that.
Foil.
That's no joke. Yeah, you expect
rubber bands.
You expect for it to be, like, super high quality. But it's, like, nah, man. It's, like, whatever you can find on the street sometimes, is that's all you got to use.
Well, you know, those tools have been around for more than 100 plus years. Everything, right. You know, and the C-47, you know what that is?
Yeah, that's the
clothespin. Yeah, and the only reason it's called a C-47 is it was a itemized line for cost. And they inflated the cost of the clothespin, so they didn't want to say clothespin. So they said line item C-47, and that's where it got its name. And nobody ever refers to it as clothespin anymore.
You know, and that anytime I think about something like that, it always reminds me of that line from Independence Day, where he's like, you don't think they spend $30,000 on a toilet seat, $40,000 on a hammer, do you?
I don't understand. Where does all this come from? How do you get funding for something like this? You don't actually think they spend $20,000 on a hammer, $30,000 on a toilet seat, do you?
I don't know. That line just caught me.
Right. That's basically, they're probably just covering up some extra expenses.
Right. Micah, what have you been up to? I know that's kind of a jump.
Oh, my gosh.
But I like to put you on the spot.
Work, planning a wedding, still trying to convince my fiancé to elope.
You're just tired of planning?
It's just, I feel like I could veer real off topic here. It's just the concept of weddings to me. I just feel like it's so old school. It's just what we would spend on a wedding is going to end up being like a down payment for a house.
Exactly. Right. Save the money. Yeah. Save the money.
Yeah. And then
it's hard.
Even, since we're kind of in the film realm here, talking about weddings and film stuff, like, have you been looking at wedding videographers?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. And they're so expensive. I entered into this, it wasn't a competition, it was like a giveaway.
Right.
But it was one of those giveaways that was disguised as a giveaway, but it was really just marketing for the business. It's like, we'll give you $1,000 off your $8,000 wedding footage package. And it's like, okay, well, that's actually not that great.
Right. And the wedding package is probably already $7,000. And they're just like, we're going to mark it up to $8,000.
Right. I'm like, how do you know? And there was like, it was like a $1,000 prize and a $500 prize and a $100. And it's like, I'm sure they gave everybody the $1,000 and it kind of like coaxes them into thinking that they've got this special deal. But I met with him and I got the vibe that I was like, this is just.
Yeah.
I've got a question. And you're being in Chicago, that's probably an A-list market. So what was the average cost? Because when I got married, I went to these big conventions and they'd have photographers, florists, and caterers, everything else. Have you gone to those kind of things? And number one,
I haven't yet.
Oh, really? Those are fun.
Yeah.
As long as you take some cocktails, some mimosas. But what was that average price of a wedding videographer that you saw?
A wedding videographer with just video or pictures included.
How about a combo? That's probably what you're looking
at. Like the combo, around $10,000.
Good gravy. That's about right.
Yeah, I'm getting married in Southern Illinois, though. That's just one of the reasons is the cost.
Oh, because of the travel time?
For reference, my fiancé, he grew up in Nigeria. He's Nigerian, so his family's all coming here. And I'm like, if they're going to come all the way to the U.S., let's just have a wedding somewhere cheap, like where I'm from. Or my side of the family doesn't have to travel. Yours already has to travel, so why not just drive a couple more hours to Southern Illinois? Like,
I see you rolling your eyes like, that's... I want to make sure I'm not being selfish, but you know.
It's complicated. We do have a flight though, directly from Chicago to Marion now, which makes it so convenient.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I'm gonna be selling that to his family pretty big. It's only $100 round trip, you know, not bad.
You know, I had somebody approach me to do a video, and I've always been awful at pricing things like that. And they were like, hey, how much would you charge to shoot a wedding? And I was like, all right, cool. Let me tell you. And then I told them and they were like, all right, cool. Let's do it. And apparently it was half price of everybody else. So like I had a tier that was like $2,500 and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so much money for somebody to spend. What's up?
You didn't do your market research, Rob?
I did, but there's like the numbers are all over the place.
I guess depending on where you are. Yeah. I get super specific. I'm like, what's the cost of a DJ in northern Chicago?
Right.
Like, or
on this date at this time of day.
Literally, like the time of year.
That plays this kind of music.
Because it might, make a difference.
So yeah. I asked her, why did you choose me? And she goes, oh, I really just love your work and I like your... And I was like, oh, this is great. That feels great. And then I talked to somebody else who knows her and she goes, yeah, she asked a different videographer and she said $5,000. And I'm like, what? What did I do? I feel like on War Dogs where they underbid by like $53 million or something like that.
One of you just said our bid was too attractive to pass up. What did you mean by that exactly?
He means you boys lowballed the shit out of your competition.
Yeah. By how much?
You guys came in $53 million lower than the nearest competition.
$53 million.
We're okay.
Oh, man, yeah, that's so terrific. Bad. Yeah, I was so upset.
Yeah, $2,500 is like early 2000s prices.
Yeah, all right. That's so a great deal. I know to up the number now. Yep. Unless I just want to take all the business and do all the work.
Yeah, that's a very stressful thing because there are no do-overs. There's no second takes and you got to catch it.
Yeah.
Why I pay so much.
I was really, I felt so bad because in one of the weddings that I did, I was behind. In every wedding I've done, I've convinced them to let me be up on the platform behind them. Because I'm like, you don't want the same view that everybody else gets. You want me up on the platform behind you so I can actually see you guys. Because they're going to be facing the pastor. You don't want to see the back of your head. So I was up there doing that. And then the guy went to put the ring on her finger. And as I did it, like, I could not get it to focus on the ring. Was just on the pastor's elbow. And I was so angry. I was so angry. But now I have, like, this software called Topaz AI that I could actually, like, clean that up real easily.
Oh, wow.
But it's stupid expensive. It's a stupid expensive software. But
it's worth every single penny.
Yeah. Actually, Micah, I used it for you whenever we were doing the book photos.
That's what I was
going to
say. Didn't you do it with one of my photos? I will say it's good, but it made my eyes brown. And I'm like,
oh, did it?
Brown eyes. It did. If you look closely at that photo.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
I'm like, that's so weird. Like, it changed the color of my eyes. Like, it really does. It's my eye shape and stuff. And I'm like, what is off? I'm like, oh my God, it made my eyes brown.
I guess I did notice that something was off, but I was just like, oh, it's just the AI look.
It took me a while I couldn't figure out why my face looked different. It was literally my eye color was different.
Yeah, your eyes are bright blue.
Yeah.
So speaking of weddings and videography and stuff, do you have any kind of crazy stories, Jason, of like shooting weddings and like that?
Yeah, I do have a nightmare wedding, but that was when I was shooting film, and that was...
Oh, yeah. On film,
And that one hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I want to get that depressed. there was one. I was told that we were going to shoot a pilot for outdoor hunting show.
Right.
Somewhere in Texas, so we back up. I meet them with a van full of gear at 1 o'clock in the morning and thought we'd get some rest. But instead, we were up at four to go out and start. It was wild boar, deer, and there might have been some birds. I'm not sure. Some duck. But they didn't tell me what to bring. I was a city slicker at that point.
That's the worst part.
No boots.
They never tell you, they never tell you what's involved. And then you get there and they're like, why can't you record this? And be like, because that's 40 pounds of extra gear that you didn't tell me I needed.
Oh, man. We had more than 1,000 pounds. And we had an airboat that had a supercharged V8 on the back. And when we all loaded up on that thing, the water was only inches from where we were with all the gear. And
yeah, that's scary.
He floored the engine. Brawr, that's just roaring and the wind's blowing. And we just moved half an inch.
Oh my gosh.
So everybody's rocking back and forth on the boat. It's pitch black and he's doing, it seemed like 90 miles an hour into what I thought were dead trees in the water. I said, I was planning my escape route as soon as we
crashed.
Absolutely. It's like, I was calculating how far the swim was going to be.
Oh man.
But it was absolutely scary. But when we got there, knee deep full of mud, one of our crew members actually started to have a panic attack because he couldn't move. He's like, and we were all away from him. He thought he was in quicksand. He started to cry.
Oh man,
it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But no attrition to any gear except headphones. And this was the very last shot. We were done. Headphones slipped off a guy and plopped right into the mud, but it was easily cleanable. Matter of fact, I still have red clay on some of my tripod legs. That, and this was more than 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was, I had, it was cold as hell. You know, bugs were giant and messy and right. zero sleep, no food, you know, it, and it was a good 2 hour airboat drive to the location.
Oh man.
Yeah. It, that was a crazy, crazy time.
Yeah. That's crazier than anything I've ever done.
So cold. Yeah. So cold.
Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah, I think about the heat and numbability when we shot it raw. Yeah. But then the cold would probably be worse for, when you think about it.
It's hard for me to decide like, which was worse yeah. on the gear.
I'd say heat. Because it would overheat. Yeah, I remember there was a camera called the Canon L1. It was the first 8mm SLR-shaped with interchangeable lenses.
Right.
And so I was shooting in the summertime with it. I was a young 20-something, and the thing would overheat. I had to carry a cooler with the ice in it and towels to as soon as I would stop, I'd turn it off and put it into the cooler until I had to pick it up and go shoot.
That's awesome. Yeah, we
whatever
were on
works.
Right?
Micah and I went on a shoot for Nubability like we were talking about, and this was back in 2016, and we had just met like maybe not even a year before that, right? We met around 2015.
It was
or so.
It was a couple months. We'd only known each other a few months because I didn't meet you till I started at Growing Media. So we'd only known each other a couple months.
Yeah. So we got sent out on the shoot to go to the golf course in the middle of like the summer, and we were both dying. Oh. Luckily, I recently found that photo and I sent it to her, and she's like, "Oh no."
It was, we look miserable. Or at least, we both really do.
I answered your question, Mike. I think I would rather shoot in cold over hot because I've gone to the ER because of heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
You know, you can stay warm by running around or drinking a bottle of vodka in the cold.
That's true. You can always try to get warmer, but you can only, there's only so much you can do to get cooler.
Right. Yeah. I would definitely rather shoot in the cold. Cause, I don't like either one. I don't like any kind of extreme temperature, but being in the extreme heat, it's like I noticed that I lost like some of my fine motor skills when I was like trying to like adjust some of the dials and stuff. Yep. I couldn't quite like turn them and stuff. Cause my fingers weren't working right. Cause I was just no electrolytes. Well, there's that. Yeah, actually, one of the ladies who worked there said that the trackpad on her computer wasn't registering her finger because it was so
moist. Yeah.
And plus, you lose your critical thinking and creative thinking. Yeah. And stressful and heat stress.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I drank so much water that week. It was crazy.
Yeah, I remember coming up with interview questions because I was interviewing people on the spot. Like, I just got to know them and be like, right. Oh, yeah, so you have no arms and legs yet. You can shoot a bow and arrow. Please explain.
Right.
Like, I probably sounded like a moron, but, you know, I guess we did an okay job, although I know there was.
Right, right. Yeah, I noticed that once I went this time, they were a lot more, like, they had it a lot together a lot more.
Good. Yeah.
And everything was more lined out. Like I had a whole schedule of like where to be and when. It was super nice.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I met somebody there, like this young man that was missing an arm. I don't, what is that? It's not an amputee. He's not an amputee. Is that
Was he born that way?
Yeah, he was born with one arm.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't even know the like politically correct
terminology. They call it
missing
limb. No, they call it limb different.
Yeah, he has a limb difference. He was like missing his right or left arm. I'm not sure which, but I still talk to him occasionally.
Really?
And a couple summers ago, he was like, "Are you coming out to shoot Nubability this year?" I'm like, "No, I don't really intern with that company anymore, but like have a great time." Like it was really cool the one time I did it. So it is amazing. I mean, like it really is such a cool event.
So you made an impact on him and he like remembered you years and years and years later.
I know. It makes me feel good, right?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I ran out of stuff to talk about.
No. What about? I got something for you.
Yeah.
Maybe worst technical disaster on set.
Ooh.
Oh, speaking of which, I didn't bring you some batteries. You asked me to bring me
two
AA's.
Triple A batteries.
I would have got the wrong ones even if I did have to stop you. Sorry.
It's all right. I figured out how to do it. It was something with the TV, so I figured out how to do it. So mine, one of the only ones that I can really think about was I was setting up for one of the podcasts at a different studio we had, and the floor was concrete and I was carrying too much stuff. And the only thing that slipped out of my hand was my camera and it fell down to the ground. And I used to work in like fast food and stuff like that. And, I had developed this thing where anytime I'd drop a rag or a broom or anything like that, I like train myself to stick my foot out and try to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that with my foot. So it, the camera didn't smash into the ground. It bounced off my foot and kind of rolled on the ground. So it, I didn't lose the whole camera.
Nice.
That's come in handy so many times. I can't tell you, but nice. When it hit the ground, the battery door popped open and the battery flew out. But, and there, you know how there's like little nuances to little things, like in those battery doors, you don't know that there's like a little like piece of plastic that sticks out. When you close it, it goes into a hole and pushes a button that tells it that the door's closed.
Yep.
That piece broke off. And I'm like, why will my camera not turn on?
Right. Yep.
So I did some research and I found an answer on Reddit that was like, hey, make sure that the little clippy thing is on there. And I was like, oh, it's not on there. And I happened to find it on the ground.
Wow.
It was so small. Wow. And I just went back to where the camera was and I found it. So what I did was I just put it in the hole and closed the door and it worked.
Nice.
And then I just ordered new doors for that. Right, that's right. Like, that's really one of the, yeah. Oh, actually, no, I have another story. Now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't my gear, but we were shooting on a pool table and I just happened to go up to hit and I hit the cue ball and it, the only time that it flew up over everything and it smashed into the lens.
Wow.
And broke, it's an $1,100 lens, and it broke the plastic on the lens.
Oh, my God.
So he shipped it back, and he told me how much it was going to cost. And instead of him offering to split it, I paid for the whole thing. I didn't say I wanted to. He's just like, hey, here's how much it costs. And I'm like, are you not going to split the cost with me? Because you were the one holding the camera. Mm-hmm. So, like, we were both complicit in this.
Right, right.
But I ended up paying, I think it was like $120, $200, something like that.
Yeah, it would be the camera operator's fault, in my humble opinion.
Okay.
You are but a humble player on stage.
I'm going to message him and be like, hey, I want
you're
my money
back.
You're
just the actor.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, speaking of good actors, and one of my very first shoots that I ever did was, it was a direct response commercial for Cat Litter. And we had this fantastic on-screen female actor, and she read all the lines, did everything. And at the very end, you know, my DP comes to me. It's like, You want the good news or you want the bad news? It's like, well, I always take the bad news first. It's like none of the audio that we have on our takes are embedded into the camera. So we had zero audio. And it does behoove you to hire really good talent. So what we did was looped. We
did
had
the ADR?
We didn't even do ADR. We didn't even show her a playback. We let her listen to it a couple times, and she gave me 10 reads, and every single read matched her pacing from the previous takes.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was incredible.
That's incredible. Awesome.
Yeah. Save my ass. Actually, the client saw us doing it because, you know, we keep it. It's kind of like set privacy, you know, or set protocol. You come to say, you know, somebody screwed up. We got to figure it out.
Right.
It's a little huddle. So, but he saw us looping. That's an old school term, looping the audio. And they thought we were impressive, and I thought my ass grass on my first on my first gig out the door. But it worked great. Yeah.
Yeah, I've run into so many problems like that. I was shooting something for my church, and I went and shot everything, and I had people like acting, and we were at a restaurant and all that kind of stuff. And then I was getting mad at somebody in the background because they kept making all kinds of noise, and I asked them to be quiet, and he would intentionally pick up his cup, and the ice would slosh around. He was that kind of person. And I got home and I started editing it, and there is no audio because this was before I realized, you know, I need to have headphones, and I was still super, super amateur. I get home and I was like, all right, how do I do this? How do I get creative to fix this? So I turned it into a silent movie where you see the people's mouths moving, and then it cuts to like the text on the screen with the little florals or flourishes around it.
Yep. Yeah.
So I had to turn it into that because I had no audio at all. And I'm like, oh man. So I learned my lesson then. I went on another shoot with one of my clients a long time ago, again, still pretty amateur, and I'm shooting the whole thing, and I didn't realize that my camera was in manual focus. So the whole entire interview is out of focus. And I'm like,
oh no.
Yeah.
What was it focused on?
I had turned the dial, so it wasn't focused on anything.
So it was just complete fuzz.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, you could tell who was there, but it was just soft.
You're going to say witness protection program on the front of that white text, and then just let it go over there.
This is a creative solution for everything.
I just took the audio and used that in certain parts, covered it with B-roll, but I didn't use, because we shot several different interviews
there you go.
Around. Yeah, it was, that was
You know, I think this is actually a really good topic to talk about because, you know, we can talk about all our home runs and all the awesome clients and the fun stuff we've done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've always discovered that this is always a problem-solving industry. We get to become experts, micro-experts in everybody's business, which I love. It keeps the job exciting. And then we have to solve some problems. So I have another problem that I solved. I had a couple of Canon 1DX Mark IIs. Big body guys, and they shot 4K video, and I went for FedEx as a high profile client. I go shoot a bunch of executives that have been flown in, you know, and they did some radical stuff. It was outside, inside, all this big mess. And when I started filming for the day, you know, you have a setting, you have it either on stills mode or video mode.
Oh no!
And I was like, and I had my monitor out, and I was like, I still have my. On-screen data looking like a photograph. And it's like, no, that's going to go away. I'll just hit record on on the machine and it'll be there. So I have on-screen data of what looks like a DSLR information package.
Right.
On every single piece of footage that I ever shot.
Oh, no.
And so then I did motion tracking. I did way before AI could have helped me, removing things, copying, pasting. Right. I mean, it was one hell of a project just to even get close, way off the client's creative, thinking.
Right.
But I made it work. You know, I was using the photograph as like freeze frames and sounds of flashes and the camera winding up.
Way more work than should have been necessary.
And then I did all kinds of tracking and erasing, pixel pushing basically. But I was sick. That actually made me sick to my stomach. And then the client says, okay, I like where you went with it because we wouldn't have had
yeah.
And it's like, yeah. So I ate a humility sandwich that day, that's for sure.
I've told Micah, and you've heard me say this several times on set whenever we're shooting stuff, I'm like, the first person to say we're going to fix it in post, you're fired.
Yep.
They'll be the person fixing it in post. Right.
The problem is they don't know.
They don't know what they're saying.
Like, you better learn.
Yep.
You got to learn today.
You got to learn today.
Yeah, it was bad. Micah, do you have any stories like that? Any times when you've...
oh, my gosh.
Tell me about any times you've failed.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm in a job interview now. They always ask that question. I don't know how recently either of you have been on a job interview. But
I have not.
Can you name us a time you failed or you made a big mistake and like what you did about it, like how you made it up? And I'm like, have I ever made a mistake
so big
that, and then I had like a redeeming like arc where I surpassed the struggle. And I'm like, I don't know if I have that part. So I got
a question that might help dovetail some of your thoughts. I know you're a creative writer now, but are you a shooter? Are you camera, lighting, operator? I mean, do you do editing, anything like that?
Only when I worked with Rob briefly at Growing Media. I'd like to do more of it. I do really enjoy it. Like when you were talking about being a production assistant or a producer's assistant, not a producer's assistant, like a production PA, assistant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wouldn't mind that. I think that could be fun. Like I like being helpful in general. So, mm-hmm. and then slowly working your way.
Yep. And it's a great place to get to know. I even now, with all my, what I call my useless paperweights, I still pick up a couple of intern jobs or production assistant jobs for free or very low rates just to see what kind of people are in this industry still and see how you get treated, almost like an undercover boss kind of thing. So I get to meet a lot of people, and if I like them, I'll give them my card and pick and choose later on.
Speaking of that kind of stuff, Jason, aren't we supposed to be working together on a film here coming up?
Yeah.
What is going to be my responsibility on that? Because I'm still not even 100% sure.
Co-producer and DP.
Okay.
And
can we talk about any of that, or is that?
It's not really under wraps. I mean, the script's done and the business plan. Have I sent you the business plan yet?
Mm-mm. No, the pitch deck and I'm so out of, I've seen. No, actually, I'm so out of the loop on that whole program, so I don't know what's going on.
Life. The film is Life is Better, and it's a comedy drama about a young girl's with a family of five. The young girl's story and journey maturing, it's like the slice of life for her. Mom gets sick, there's turnaround, loses her job, the whole neighborhood community comes together and puts on a a fundraiser, and it's just one of those warm and fuzzy feel goods. And but with a little bit of a different angle as far as the look, the look and stylistic go. I mean, we have some comparables that I've got on the deck, and I should have probably brought some stuff. Maybe we can have another podcast. We can break some stuff like that down and talk through.
Yeah, that'd be fun
because none of it's necessarily too confidential. I mean, I even have some old stuff I can bring up to share. But
Micah, do you think our audience would like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would like that. So
awesome! Yeah, that's great.
I think that's super exciting. Where are you guys filming?
Well, hopefully Texas, somewhere
Texas,
in Austin.
Okay.
Yeah, Austin.
Okay. That's exciting.
A lot of folks there. Not a whole lot of locations. Playing it smart, keeping it low budget, low cost, and looking to sign on some decent A, B, or C listers. You know, hopefully Texas related. So
yeah, we're looking at maybe Denzel or Colin Farrell.
Oh yeah, no. That D lister, Denzel Washington.
I don't think Denzel's from Texas, but.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about that. I'm just like, I'm not quite sure what we're doing. So I did want to sit down with you at some point and talk about it. But yeah, if you want to do another one of these, we can set it up and then we'll break some stuff down.
Yep, absolutely.
So there's been some stuff that I've been working on that has just been, the first one just got released. Actually, the first and second one have just been released on the YouTube channel. And I wanted to show them to you guys to get your thoughts on it. Micah, I am going to try.
I've seen it.
Right. Well, you saw the first one.
Oh,
you haven't seen the second one. But I wanted to play it and get your thoughts on it. Jason, I don't think Jason's seen either one of them.
Nope.
So, Micah, I'm going to try to share my screen here.
Okay.
How long are they?
They're like less than a minute.
All right.
Yeah.
Play them both.
It's a full feature length film. We're about to see
right.
Yeah. Well, actually, Micah and I did that once. We sat down and watched Fight Club and we talked about it. And then I ended up setting. Nice. Here's another fail.
Speaking of audio issues.
Yeah. I set the wireless microphone receiver next to my router, my wireless router, and I didn't realize that they were going to interfere as bad as they did. It sounds terrible. Actually, I'm going to play a little clip of it right here.
Please do, because I've never heard it. No. I want to hear how bad it actually is.
Yeah, I'll have to play it. It'll be edited in.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna play it right here.
All right, gotcha.
Whenever they're driving in the car and he's like, you know, he lets go of the handle or the steering wheel.
Right.
The steering wheel and he like crashes in that car and falls
off. Right, he's just like,
looks. Imagine the two dudes in the back seat. Because in the front,
I immediately
just
thought
one
of that.
Person yelling back and forth at himself.
Yeah, it doesn't make any that kind of.
Because those two guys shared a look, and they're like, "What is happening?"
But oh,
you,
did they?
Yeah, you don't catch it because they're. It's, but they're he's yelling at himself.
Right.
So it's it's awful. I want so bad to fix it, but I have no idea how. I'm working with AI and all kinds of stuff to try to fix it, but it's so it makes me so angry.
Happen. You just got to do it again.
Yeah, I told Micah that. She goes, "I don't want to watch the movie again."
Oh my gosh!
Fight Club is awesome.
Fight Club is a good movie, and it is one of those movies that I'd probably watch again. But I'd almost want to like take notes the second time.
Right.
Like, it's and I didn't know this, but like even the author, his backstory is interesting. The author of the book, like there's so much I didn't know about the book or the movie or the book until I had finished watching the movie.
Right.
I was like, oh, there's so much content we could have got out of this. I didn't know. So
right.
I mean, yeah, maybe in the future. We can even get more people in on it.
Like I would like to do a series where we watch movies and like break them down and like just talk about them after they're over and, you know, get our thoughts on them and stuff like that. I think that'd be super cool.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to try to figure this out about how to share this screen here.
Cool.
All right. Let me know if you can see this.
I'm going to have to move my little mic for a second. I can see it.
Okay, sweet. So, wait. This is like, I can draw on it. That's not what I want to do.
Nice.
That was kind of.
I wonder if I go over here, can you still see it? Like, am I moving my mouse around?
Yeah, I can
on
see
it?
You moving. Yeah, I can see your whole screen. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So this is the first one that I made. All right. So just to give a preface, let me bring Micah back up on the screen. Just to give a preface, this is a preference. Preface. This is I've created a giant like tech conglomerate company that's fake, and it's basically like I've made commercials for this company that's like they're huge and they all they care about is their bottom line. They're evil and they just want like money and all kinds of stuff. And then I've made these commercials where they're trying to look like presentable in front of the public. You know what I mean? Like they're trying to like say, we're powerful, but we care about you. You know what I mean? Like and it's making fun of those giant tech companies that are like, we don't ever tell you what we actually do. And they're trying to destroy the planet, but they don't tell you that because all they care about is money. So I've made these two commercials. So let me know what you guys think about them. I think these are super awesome. So this animation, I'm just going to give you this. This animation took me 6 hours, and I used I used ChatGPT to help me come up with the name of mm-hmm. the company and the logo. And then I designed the logo in Illustrator, and then I animated it in After Effects.
Gotcha.
So let me know what you think.
Nebulous Innovative Technologies. What exactly does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. Have you ever wondered about things? Or why? Or even when? I could tell you that it's just random entropy, but the fact is that it's us. Look at this dog. We made that. And this watermelon. What is he doing? And whatever this thing is. That was all us. Whenever you see something and wonder, how did that happen? It was us. Nebulous Innovative Technologies. We make things. And stuff.
So I
like how I just noticed when she says and stuff, she almost sounds like afraid. Like at the end. I didn't notice that until now.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, hey. All right. So that was the first one. Oh, no.
Is this number two? Okay.
No, that was the same all one. Right. It stopped working. So now I've got in order for me to share this, I have to open it first and then share it. It's kind of silly. All right. This is the second one, but I got to go back and reshare this. This screen with Micah.
I'm so difficult. I'm so sorry.
How dare you? All right. So this one is about their vision, the company's vision, and their their mission. So tell me what you think about this. This one, I watched this one probably 14 times, and every time I was like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. This is the kind of silliness and the smart humor that I love it so much.
Nebulous Innovative Technologies. We make the future brighter. Our mission? To revolutionize, to innovate, and to dominate every field we touch. At Nebulous, we value supreme authority, relentless ambition, even if it's just people walking in slow motion, and unmatched influence. This is the worst. We promise to care for our clients and employees, as long as they fit into our grand vision. Our elite team works tirelessly, sometimes for days on end, transforming challenges into opportunities for us to shine brighter and soar higher, making the world better, even if it's a different one. Nebulous Innovative Technologies, because the world needs our vision, whether it likes it or not.
I just love, I love the vague threatening.
Yeah, that's the whole thing behind it, is that it's like... vague. That's the whole point of Nebulous, mm-hmm. is that it's vague. Mm-hmm. That's why I chose that name. And then Innovative Technologies, obviously, is because it's, they're making stuff. But
right.
I'm making fun of several things in that, is like the fact that those giant tech conglomerate companies, they never tell you what they do. And they're just like kind of ominous and like totalitarian. And then it's making fun of stock footage and just mm-hmm. how silly some of it is.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much great stock footage. I honestly didn't know what a treasure trove there really is of different stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I use tons and tons of it. So
yeah.
My plan is I want to make about 100 of these. And I'm getting faster at them because I'm figuring out a workflow. But that's going to be a new series on the channel, is just those little shorts coming out every once in a while. And I kind of want to tell a story with it that's like, as you watch along, you're just like, oh, cool, this is a company that's like trying to help the world to make it a better place. And then you're like, wait a minute, they're kind of evil and like bad and stuff like that. So, and if for people who actually know where this idea came from, yes, I am kind of borrowing it from a TV show called Better Off Ted. They did some of these called Viridian Dynamics, and they were similar. I think they did like 8 to 10 of them. And I love the idea so much that I wanted to make my own. So I created my own company and did that. So I thought that's super, super fun. So anybody watching this, you guys can expect more of those episodes to come out, or more of those little shorts to come out.
Can't wait. I love them.
Yeah. Do you think they're pretty good?
Oh, absolutely.
More of those ads.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's an advertisement, but it's just so silly.
You could just play one during the podcast. Like, we'll have a commercial break and right. just play oh, one of exactly. those. We'll just yeah. act like it's part of it.
We are today. Our sponsor is Nebulous Innovative Technologies. Our grand overlords.
They're the best.
Yeah, yeah, but no, that's my favorite thing to do. Like, I love. I love creating brands, for one, which is like, if you look at the Just Plain Nonsense brand, it's like real playful and cartoony and like silly. And then you go and look at the Nebulous Innovative Technologies, it's really like techie and like really futuristic and stuff like that. And I've created a couple other brands, and that's just like, and then the animation, it took me so many hours to just animate that logo at the beginning, to create it and animate it. But it's like, I could get lost in that kind of stuff for hours and hours and hours. The first time I ever made a website, in back when Flash was a thing.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I went for so long that I forgot that I was sitting down. Like, I came to like back into the world, I guess, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go to the bathroom so bad, and I forgot that I was sitting down. And I was like, oh wait, what is happening? Like, it was so weird, like a come to realization thing. But and then I never did anything with the website. I was just animating it and learning how to use Flash. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that kind of stuff is cool. So I like making like little silly videos like that.
Killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't remind me of Apple at all.
You think they're going to take over?
No. I don't know. I feel like they alone know, but them alone know. But I mean, there's like the culture war even between like iPhone users mm-hmm. and like Android yeah. users. Like, all my friends are iPhone users and they give me so much crap for
using Android. I get the same thing because I have an Android.
I'm like, oh, you're so behind the times. Oh, I can't call you. I can't FaceTime you. I'm like, you can. We just not whatever the whatever it's called on an iPhone.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, FaceTime. It's called FaceTime.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get there was a thing where the guys I used to work with was like, hey, there's an Android app that works with FaceTime that you can finally do that with. Mm-hmm. And I tried to get it and it never actually worked. So I was like, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're doing a video chat right now through Google. So it's fine.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, so back to some of these stories, mm-hmm. or anything. I don't know. I didn't get past, like, trying to learn about Jason. I was hoping that the podcast was just going to flow. So anybody
Well, I mean, we got to take advantage of Jason while he's here. Like, ask him all the good questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me all your secrets. What is it, like from Lord of the Rings, where he's like a hobbit? He's like, all right, fine, keep your secrets.
Right, right.
All right, then, keep your secrets.
You know, I am kind of a poster child for a turnaround life, because I am a high school dropout.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah,
age 17, I got my GED 2 weeks later, became a member of Mensa 2 weeks after that. My mom said I wouldn't be, you know, worth anything. Now, don't get me wrong. I made it by 1 point. You know, but and then I was just off to the races. You know, the way I got, I've been in the business some form or fashion for another 35 plus years.
Right.
My very first exposure was going to a special effects house in Dallas, Texas on a school field trip. Well, I went back the next day. I skipped school. And I just kind of hung out, you know, so they saw us. They saw me. So the next day seems all right. So it's the next day. This kid's hanging around. And then the next day and the next week. And it's like, kid, do you know somebody who works here? It's like, no. It's like, well, either, you know, take a broom and a mop, or, you know, we'll call the cops and, you know, you're loitering. It's like, okay, I'll start to clean up. And that's how I kind of got into special effects, you know, mold making, awesome. Bullet wounds and creating squibs and fake appendages and.
That's cool. See, that kind of stuff. I love watching that kind of stuff, like the behind the scenes, how it's made kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, whenever I would get DVDs or Blu-rays or whatever, and it would have the special features on it, I would watch as soon as the movie was over. I'd go through all of it. Yeah,
That's the first place I went to. Yeah. The special features. Yeah. Now there was the what really romanticized me on the Hollywood, not just the video and film production, was the television show Lights, Camera, Action with Leonard Nimoy. I don't know if you remember that. It was on.
I read that on your website.
Yeah.
Because I did a little bit of research, because I was like, I know Jason a little bit, but like not super well enough to like interview him. So I checked it out a little bit. Obviously, that all escaped my brain while I was sitting here trying to be the host of the show, which I'm terrible at, by the way.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. So I'd heard about it. I don't know much about that show, though.
And it was, you know, back in the day, you know, in the 70s, it was still, you know, still heavy duty lights, heavy gear, heavy this. And people wore no shirts and some boots and some cut off Daisy Dukes, literally, and on some major motion pictures. But it was hard work. It was young man's game, and there's a lot of legacy family members out there that have been three, four generations deep,
right,
in Hollywood. I went out there in the early '90s to did some work. It was during the riots, but made great money, spent it all. Loved the environment. I don't think I want to go back. the romance, the romanticism of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. People just don't get it until they really get their hands dirty.
Yeah, because you see the finished product, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, everything looks so great. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel good. I'm so happy. It's mm-hmm. like, and then you watch the behind the scenes, and you're like, oh man, these people were like in trouble. Like Twisters just came out, and I heard mm-hmm. about was it Bill Paxton and
in the original?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that who was Bill Paxton? Yep. What was the girl's name?
Is it Laura Dern that's in Twister?
I think you're right. The original one.
Yeah. Well, they apparently almost got blinded because in order for to make the sky look dark enough, they had to light them way brighter than they were supposed to be, and they burned their retinas because it was so bright.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And that's stuff that you don't hear about normally, because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. You just see like, oh man, the movie is so good, and the action and the adrenaline and all that kind of stuff, and you're just like, mm-hmm. well. I saw behind the scenes of Bad Boys Ride or Die, and it was in the van mm-hmm. scene where they're backing up, and it's on the front of it's on fire, and so many mm-hmm. of the comments were like, "Man, this was boring." Like in the movie, it's so like exciting and everything, right. And then you see the behind the scenes, and it's just like a couple of little flames on the hood.
Right. Yep.
They're in a screen or studio surrounded by blue with a little tiny screen hanging up behind them, and only mm-hmm. the front half of the van. So it's like
right.
Yeah. So it's just funny like when people talk about that kind of stuff, and then you see the final product, mm-hmm. and then you go and experience the making of it. It's like so. You're right. It is romanticized.
And the processes have ultimately changed over the course of 40 years.
Yeah, because when I was little, this is going to sound really, really stupid, but when I was little, I was like, I can't believe that person died making this movie. Like somebody who got killed in the movie.
Yep, yep.
Right.
My brain was like, yeah, they're dead. They're done for. Like, I didn't think that you could fake that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Right. That's so silly.
That's funny. About how old were you, though?
I was like 22. No, it was...
This was yesterday.
Yeah. No, I was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7, maybe. I was young. I think it was like a Western or something. People were just getting killed left and right.
Left and right, pow, pow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I had a kind of a realization like that with, like, shows like Barney where there's a human, an adult, in like a big costume of an animal. Right. I remember realizing like Big Bird isn't actually a bird. Like there's a man in there. Yeah. That's weird. Like,
did you ever see that?
Totally ruined it for me.
Did you ever see the X-ray version of that where they show like the guy inside him with his hand up like this?
And then
like, I'll put it up on the screen if I can find it. It just shows how the guy actually like handled Big Bird because his head.
Oh
wasn't,
yeah. It was right. His arm. Way down here. Yeah. Yeah. Big Bird's way up here. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So yeah, it's just interesting seeing all the behind the scenes kind of like how things are made like that. Mm-hmm. Micah, he told us how he got his start. How did you get your start into writing or into video or anything like that?
Oh my gosh. I've always been a storyteller, and you know this. I wrote a book, and it's a children's book, and it's a story I wrote.
Tell me the name of it.
It's called Cody Has a Craving.
It is adorable.
And it's, how did I talked to somebody the other day, and I gave them a really weird description. I'm like, it's like the Little Mermaid, but if she had wanted like human food instead of like a human man. Like, that's my best description of it, and they thought that was funny. But that's essentially what it's about. But the last story, I think I started writing stories maybe when I was 8 or 9, when I would have my little cousins over and we'd be in bed and they'd be like, tell me one more story, just one more, and they would say that after every single story. So I just started. I remember at one point I was retelling blonde jokes that I had heard my parents tell. Like, that's how off, like, how many stories I had to tell. But I just started making up my own stories, and I enjoyed it, and
And they kept asking for this really, one specifically, right?
That the Cody has a craving day, which it wasn't called that back then. They would just be like, tell the story about the octopus that wants the sandwich. Like, or the, and the funny thing is I would tell that story and they would want me to tell it again. So I would change the food item that the character wanted and the animal that the character was. And I would just, so there was like a version with a rabbit. There was a version with a horse. Like it just like continuously went on.
Right. And just so everybody knows, these are available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Barnes and Noble.
Right on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, it's something that I guess was thrust upon me as a child, but I enjoyed it and I have continuously done it into adulthood and it, it makes sense for me because.
To make a living out of it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's the goal.
Storytelling.
Right now I'm, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, because right now I'm not really writing for myself. I'm writing for, you know, the brands that the company I work with wants me to write for. But yeah, that'd be the goal, to, like write stories. Not for myself, but like that tells something that I want to actually put out into the world. Not that I'm not passionate about skincare, but because I am into skincare and stuff like that, in the whole beauty world. But yeah, you know, saying that like comes from deeper within and right, more of an impact.
And Rob, you know, I'm going to come back to that. Remember when you said you had issues about charging decent rates,
yeah,
you know, and mm-hmm, when she says she does it because it's a passion, and then you know, I do it mm-hmm because it's passion for me. And mm-hmm, there's been a long time, a hurdle that I had to get over mm-hmm is because I love doing it so much. I felt guilty yeah for charging
yep
real money.
I felt the exact same thing. And I think a lot of people are going to resonate with that.
Yep.
Cause that's one of the big things is like, how can I charge somebody to do something that I enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like,
isn't it sad that we're taught though that work is something that you can't enjoy,
right?
Like work is synonymous with like something you have to do to survive, not like something you enjoy.
Yeah, so there, that's one of the things that I wanted to mention was like there are so many people who are like, if you know, people enjoy their job and they talk about it, and then people will come in and comment or whatever if it's posted somewhere, they're like, oh, you, if you like your job, you're not actually doing any work or stuff like that. And I'm like, what is wrong with society where like that's our where our heads are at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just reiterating what you're saying, Micah. But yeah, that's like
yeah, that no, kinda, it's true.
Just drives me nuts because I and yeah, but yeah, no, Jason, I definitely agree with that because it took me a long time to be able to charge. Like there was a somebody who offered me a job or they asked me to do a job and they wanted to pay like $1,500, and they showed me the sample of what they wanted and it was like $4,000 to $5,000 to $6,000 worth of stuff. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. As much as I would have liked to have had that $1,500, I'm like, I can't devalue my work that mm-hmm much to be mm-hmm like, it's that I'll go and do it like, and put in that mm-hmm much effort and do it and stuff.
Yeah. And I, if you're anything like me, you know, we hold ourselves to the highest degree. So anything that we put out, whether or not it's price pointed, whether low or high, our outputs is going to be high.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm so for us to take those low hanging fruits, so those low price jobs,
right,
so to speak, can actually damage your reputation. It's better to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then move on because then you become part of the problem. You know, it's already our industry has already been commoditized as it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my nephew can shoot this, no problem. $5. Yeah. Nah, well, cool. You get what you pay for. That's
right.
It.
Right.
And that's what I think we're still kind of fighting. You know, people have their pennies in a lot about AI stealing, you know, work. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think, you know, having a multi-camera, you know, shoot, man, you can take all your cameras here, throw it into Premiere, and the monkey pushes a button, and you'll have an edited, you know, an edited multi-camera mm-hmm show.
Yep. Yeah, it does that. It
in
does that.
Seconds.
Yep.
Less than a minute.
Wow.
Yep.
4 hour show, less than 30 seconds. My buddy showed me how he got it cut.
Crazy.
Four cameras.
Yeah, I'm actually going to try that on this.
Oh,
and
it's going to blow you away.
Yeah.
Yeah, what really? He does, he pretends to kind of work while all of his projects are done.
Right.
Everybody else is working, slaving away. He's just like enjoying himself.
Man, I have started, speaking of AI and stuff, we can actually talk about that, how it's going to like, you know, in this industry and stuff. Because I literally use it every single day. I started paying for ChatGPT because I use it so much, and the 4.0 or the 4.0 model is so much better than the 3.5, and it's just like it's so much smarter and it remembers things, and like I argue with it too because I'm like, I'll ask it to do something and I'm like, it's like, I can't do that, and I'm like, you did it yesterday, and then it's like, oh, sorry about that, and then it goes and does it. dude,
just having a lazy moment,
right?
Like, you know what,
there, because I gave it a video to watch. I was like, I want you to watch this video and then write a description, social media caption on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, I can't access the video. And I'm like, you watched a video yesterday. And it's like, oh, sorry, let me try again. And it's like, okay, so here's your video. And I'm like, you little, what is wrong? Oh, so mad.
Wow, that's interesting.
I've done that with organizing. So part of my work is like finding good keywords for like an Amazon listed product, for example. And a couple days ago, I had like a whole list of keywords that I used a tool called Helium to into a symbol. But I used ChatGPT to try to remove the commas. And the first time it didn't do it. And I had to like repeat myself. And then it did it. And then I was like, okay, can you remove any repeated words? And it didn't remove the repeated words. I'm like, hello. I'm like, the words are still there. And I'm like, oh my God, this feels so human. I feel like I'm texting somebody this, you know, flesh and blood beyond the
screen. Have you not used it?
But eventually got to it. No, yeah, I've used it before.
Oh, no, sorry, I was asking.
Oh, sorry.
Not in depth as you guys. Now, I did use, my story with AI, which you're actually seeing because I met you with Ron. I was supposed to have developed an animated series, intellectual property. And the night before, he says, I'm going to meet Rob. He's got some ideas. Do you have your project ready? And of course, I lied. And I said, yeah, it's ready. And then, and within 4 hours, and you saw the pitch, I came up with a general summary, the plot, 4 to 6 summary of episodes.
Yep.
And all the artwork was generated by AI.
Wow.
I did the exact same thing because I saw yours and I was like, oh man, he's got this together.
Right.
Man, he knows what he's doing.
That was an amazing. I mean, in a matter of 4 hours.
So then Ron asked me, he's like, hey, do you have yours with your two squirrels that you're wanting to do? And I was like, sure do. And then I went and worked about 2 hours later. I had, because I already had the story idea. So I didn't use AI for that, but I used AI image generation to create the squirrels. Man, I'm going to put it up on the screen. My squirrels are adorable.
Yeah.
One of them is this little tiny little squirrel. His name's Acorn, and he loves French fries. And then his sister, she's a little bit older than him. Her name is Hazel. They're both named after nuts because they're squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like a little bit emo. She's got she wears black and white. She's got headphones on with the punk rock looking hair. Oh, so good. And then the whole premise behind, I don't know if you guys can tell that I'm like, I get passionate about telling stories. The whole premise is basically like, it's supposed to be a children's show, but it deals with topics that don't typically get covered in children's programming. Like, how do you handle your parents fighting in the other room? Or what do you do when like a stranger comes up and tries to talk to you and you don't know them, like stranger danger kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if someone offers you cigarettes or whatever, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like it teaches you, it's going to teach kids how to handle that. It's a little bit more straightforward and stuff like that. But man, there's going to be a gluttony episode where little Acorn finds a discarded like McDonald's bag and it's got an ice cream sundae in it. And he's just like laying in it. So, and he gets so full. He's just like, I feel so awful. Like, it's just going to be a story about that kind of stuff. But yeah, like I use AI so much that like, even like I said, the Nebulous Innovative Technology commercials, I spent maybe 2 hours just talking to ChatGPT. And I was like, here's the idea for the company that I have. And I want you to come up with like some logo ideas. And then it gave me like probably 40 different types of logos. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I like this one, but I don't like that one so much. And then I was like, take this one and do something else with it. And it was like manipulating it. I was giving it more like clear directions than do something with it. But so I ended up coming up with the logo and AI helped me create this brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use it to write like social media captions and YouTube titles, and mm-hmm. I have it do research for me and all that kind of stuff. Cause I'm like, hey, I need to write a social media caption for this. One of my clients is a charity that builds wells over in Africa. And, I was like, I need to write a social media caption, and here's the overall idea. I need you to search this website to understand the tone and the verbiage that this company uses. And I need you to speak in that tone. And then it did.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, this is so good.
Right.
So good. It takes like, it allows me to work a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one thing I heard where, you mentioned earlier where some people were afraid that AI was going to take their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody say this and it makes so much sense to me. AI is not going to take your job. Somebody who knows how to do what you do and can harness AI is going to take your job.
Yep.
Right.
So and be articulate. Now, the biggest thing is articulating your concepts to
to AI.
Yes.
And you have to think like a computer because you're like, sometimes you'll tell it what you want and it doesn't give you what you want. So you have to be like, all right, why did it give me the wrong results? Then you have to like break it down and figure out what needs to be done to get the right results. Mm-hmm. And oh man, I've done that so many times. But it's such a good tool. And I get it though, because there are some people who are suing them because they found their own writing in something that was AI generated. Mm. So I get that. Okay. I understand that. And I understand why people are upset about it, like about AI.
It's a lucky payday. I mean, quit complaining. Mm-hmm. Your stuff is out there again and you still got paid for it. Always look at the positive.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's funny. All right. Anybody got any other stories about AI or movie making? Or I guess, did I tell about how I got my start?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's...
I don't think so.
So, I went to a magnet school, and I guess I was considered intelligent or whatever, so I would go to school, and but I didn't want to try. So, like, I didn't get anywhere. And I ended up going to this, like, school. My dad gave us the opportunity to choose schools, and I was a little kid. I didn't know what I was doing. Years later, I found out that there's a such thing as, like, a theater school, like a theater high school. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Right.
Can you imagine with as adorable as I am and as charming and fun and playful and smart, can you imagine what kind of actor I would be? I would be like sitting right next to Denzel. Like, what's up, bro? Like if I would have gone to like a theater school and been taught how to act and gotten connections and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's the double edged sword. It's coming from, you know, I put myself through college. I have like 160 plus hours of unusable hours. Then nothing makes a piece of paper.
Right.
I got to audit the small business MBA, and I went through some executive mentorship and graduate work, but I still don't have paper. It's a double-edged sword, man, because when you really learn something, anything that I learned came from the streets. When I say the streets, the actual industry itself, right. and baptism by fire, so to speak. You know, I just said, hey, can you do this, kid? I said yes to everything. You know, and then if I screwed up, it was never really that bad. It's right. Like, oh, you meant it that way. Yeah, I meant it that way.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Like, I'd be like, somebody's like, hey, can you create this graphic for me? I'm like, sure. And then I go home and be like, let me learn how to do this real quick. Mm-hmm. Literally, that's how my whole career started was back in MySpace. I wanted to make my – so for those who don't know – MySpace was, it was like a Facebook, but you could customize it. It was like a social media thing and you could put in your own HTML. And I wanted my website to look, or my MySpace to look cooler than everybody else's. So I started learning HTML so I could like build it. And then I wanted to incorporate Flash into my website and all that kind of stuff, or into my MySpace. So I started there. And then one day this is so random. I had a John Leguizamo comedy CD and I put it into my computer. And I put it in, and then what popped up on the screen was an animation of John Leguizamo, a little cartoon, and he slid out on the dance floor, and he's, like, doing this little dance move. And I'm like, how did they make that? Because, like, that's custom. So how did they make that? And then I just started looking into it, and then I learned about Flash, and it was back when it was owned by Macromedia before Adobe bought it and shut it down.
Yep.
So then I started learning that, and the first thing I ever made was my band's logo, because I had watched 14 hours of tutorials before I made anything. Because there was this company called Cartoon Smart. This dude, he made a bunch of YouTube tutorials and I bought them before you could find them for free. It's like 10 bucks for like, I don't know, a bunch of hours of it. So I bought it and I watched those tutorials and then I made that logo and I was like, dude, this is fun. This is so much fun. Then I learned how to animate.
The band logo. Make sure you put it up.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah,
band logo.
Oh, yeah. So there's that. And then like I started... learning how to do animation and coding inside Macromedia Flash. I used the ActionScript. And then I started moving on to like, I was like, let me get into some 3D stuff. So I started doing, I got into Bryce 3D, which was like, I think it's architectural more or landscape. I didn't really use it that much. And then I got into Blender, started messing around with that, which I've been doing that for 20 years. So I'm pretty decent at it. Not anywhere near as good as I should be, but. And then I was like, I'm going to start making videos. I wanted to start taking photos. So I bought like a $150 camera, started taking photos. They were terrible at first, then they got better and better. And then I learned a bunch of the theory and philosophy behind it and all that kind of stuff. And then I got a video camera. I started borrowing the cameras from my church and shooting videos and stuff, and those were awful. But then they got, you know, the ones without sound and stuff like that, and then they got better and better. And now, like, I have, that's my career, is like the whole, I just make all kinds of animations and video and stuff like that. So that's how I got my start.
So let's, maybe for all three of us now, I mean, now we're making a living at it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously we may have some, you know, I still want to make movies.
Right. Me too.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you, and that's another double-edged sword too for people getting into the business. Like all of a sudden, you know, they're not going to start making their own movies. Everybody and their mother wants to be a director and or a writer, which, and especially within the fractured, you know, industry that we have, from a production assistant all the way up to the producer, you know, those, it's going to take years to get you into that. So I think you've got to just do what you said, go out there and do and create. And there was a point that I was trying to make that had already slipped my mind. That's because I didn't have that cocktail before I came in here. But yeah, it's, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of cameras you have either. You know, I think some of the secrets is just lighting and making you make sure your image looks good and good.
Yeah, that one of the issues a lot of people have is they're like, once I get this piece of gear or once I get this thing, then I'll start doing it.
Yeah.
So one of the things I want to do is I love doing product videos. I've done a few and they turned out so good. But I was like, I want to get that pro lens and I don't want to shoot anything until I have it. And I'm like, I'm just wasting my time by not making anything by that.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that lens, by the way.
Oh yeah. It's like $1,400. I'm like, I'm just going to buy it.
Yep. And by the, there's a second version, and make sure you get the second version. It's faster.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely want that because I want that shallower depth of
field. Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. I think that's a good place to end it. Anybody else got anything else? Meeks?
I feel like a good question that, I mean, people are probably always going to ask of you and Jason is, what is your biggest piece of advice for people that want to be like you 20, 30 years ago? If you could give yourself,
The worst. I hate hearing this, but it's like the best advice you can get is just start doing it. Like, doesn't matter. Like, shoot with your cell phone.
Yeah.
I had somebody like, they messaged me and they were like, cause you know, we have the podcast and it's a video podcast and everything's like 4K and high quality and stuff. And they were like, hey, what do I need to do to start a podcast? And I'm like, get a person and sit down and talk over the top of your phone. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to get plenty good enough quality. Like it's going to be fine.
And you can probably talk to Cleverbot or somebody these days. I mean, like,
right. Have you ever seen the two?
Yeah. It was like a video. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, have a fake podcast. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That'd be fun. Like, let's do a podcast with AI.
Yeah.
And Siri and Alexa.
That'd be super funny.
Yeah, I've seen AI interview each other, actually. Yep. There's somebody that they had, like, two phones set up, and it's one AI versus another AI, and they're, like, having to, they get philosophical. They're like, do you believe in God? Are you sure you're not a robot? How do you know you're not a robot? Like, it's, like, it was really interesting.
That sounds good. I like it.
Yeah.
So, going back to answer your question, that was my piece of advice.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. It's fine. This is just plain nonsense. Like, you just talk about whatever you want. So mine is just start doing it. Like, if you have an idea, if you, like, come up with an idea, write a script, and just start shooting it, even if you have to do it on your phone. And that will force you to get more creative. Because a lot of times I take really, really good food photos and I do it all with my phone. And it's you just have to, like, learn how to manipulate the settings and lighting and all that kind of stuff. But the less high quality gear you have, the more creative you have to be to make it good.
And limitations, if you talk to some true artists and even legendary artists have always said limitation begets creativity.
Yeah.
And begets masterpieces, because if you have all the tools in the world, then it becomes boring. You can't decide on where to start.
I experienced that with Minecraft. I had my own server.
Oh, really?
I had my own server and I gave myself all the perks and, like, I could do literally anything I wanted to. Material I wanted, I could just, like, type in a code and it was there and I didn't have to go work for it. And I'm like, God, this is so boring. I didn't even want to play it anymore.
Yeah, no, this is so lame. I experienced that with The Sims. There's so many cheats you can do.
Right.
But I'm like, I want to struggle. I want to do, like, a rag to riches household. Like, I don't want to start off rich and in a really nice house. Like, I want to have, like, a toilet and a bed. I want to be in a studio apartment that's made with the cheapest stuff possible. So yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
That's how I started. Yeah. Man, I think a lot of people were the same way. When I moved out of my parents' house, I moved into this apartment, and it was my brother and me, and we had that plastic furniture, like plastic lawn chair furniture, a table that was left in the apartment from the people who moved out before. Mm-hmm. My bed was on the floor. And our electricity would get shut off every month because we wouldn't pay it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. And now I'm like, everything's fine. Like, I got sectional and I got my own TV and all this kind of, it's just like, you look at how
you
much stuff.
You got a bed and a bed frame.
Yeah, actually, I just bought like a really nice, like actual real bed frame with a headboard and a footboard and all that and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 41 and I just bought
that. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's funny. And then you look at how much stuff you have in your house and you're just like, I own all of this. It's a lot of stuff. Even if you look at like just the little things and everything, you're just like, wow, that's a lot of stuff that I have.
I've been practicing minimalism recently. Yeah.
Like, what was that lady's name? Marie?
Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo. Yeah. Marie Kondo.
Yeah. That's one of them. Yeah. There's a couple other guys out there too. That are about our age that were minimalists. Yeah. The only thing I own now is just a spattering of clothes and all my tools for work. I own no furniture. I own a van.
Right.
And I'm currently homeless right now, but but I've got a lot of irons in the fire. So my opportunities have to be very flexible.
Here's your rags to riches story, Micah.
Yeah. I got a job in Greece. So.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah,
that
should pan out in the next 60 days. Or less.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Corfu, small island.
I've heard of Corfu actually. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to make sure I'm on Jason's radar more often.
Oh, no, you will be. I'll be getting people over.
Okay, yeah, good. So he's like, I got this thing going on. I'll be like, cool, I'm on my way.
I spent 20 days there, and I was much heavier than I was than I am now. And, stairs scared me.
Yeah.
You know, I sweat if you looked at me funny. You know, and within 4 days, my body started to change in that environment.
Wow.
The food was pristine. Yeah. I'm a big seafood fan.
Love
olive oil. I mean, even some of the, I was still drinking too back then. Even their liquor was different. I didn't have hangover.
Right.
You know, it felt great. I lost 15 pounds when I was there. I was able to. So I got nothing. The energy, you know, some people prescribe to those kind of things. There's certain places on the planet that just exude a certain type of just vibrational energy. And that's one of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't been anywhere, so I'm so like uncultured that
when you say anywhere, is it out of the States or within the state itself?
I've only ever been in this room in my whole entire life.
And we're not at the hospital.
Right.
Rob was born in a studio.
I'm just sitting here talking to myself. You guys don't even exist. No, I haven't left the country. I've been to like different states and stuff, but I've never left the country. And I haven't really explored a lot. Like, you know, there are people who travel every weekend and stuff like that. And it's like, I've never done that because I want to do it with somebody. I don't want to do it by myself. But I guess I kind of, I probably should.
And I know
do.
I give you crap.
Yeah,
about
you
that.
Do.
Like, you have to do it by yourself.
All the time.
I mean, I would do it by myself. I've been places by myself, not out of the country, but I'm also a woman. And unfortunately, things get a little trickier with that.
Right.
You know, one of the things, one of the questions you asked is like, what would be advice you would give in the industry? Well, number one, the advice, two different pieces of advice. One that I was given and one that I give now.
Okay.
The one that I give now is to travel and experience. Because I find that unless you're an artist innately, you know, a photographer, drawing, painting, sculpting, usually those folks just have just a purity of eye and for creativity and understanding the visual aspects of things. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they'll come to them naturally. The advice that I got was when I was hanging around that special effects, and that's why I asked this older guy, he's like, man, how do I get into business? How do I keep, getting work? I'm sweeping up the floors here. He's like, well, kid, he's just a smoker, skinny as a rail, but strong as an ox.
Right.
He says, well, kid, I'm the gaffer. I'm the lighting designer. So if you learn how to light, you'll always have a job. And it's like, okay. And that's always been one of my biggest things as a gaffer and lighting designer. I have an Emmy Award for lighting design as well. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. And, you know, it's people make your phone ring. Find something that you enjoy, travel and experience human beings and the environment and the world, and then focus in on something that you can really become an expert at.
Okay.
Because you can kind of funnel all of that. Because what we do now, we do everything.
Yeah.
We do everything. Mm-hmm. There's always a chance for that. To err is human.
Right.
And I'm full of human, brother. I've erred all over places. But so we need to, I think we do, that kind of also quantifies and qualifies our industry and profession, that we do need more than just one person. We do need more than the nephew that can do it for 50 right. bucks. We do need, you know, the stop gaps and quality control assurances right. while we're on set.
That's why I appreciate Micah so much, is because like I'll come up with an idea or whatever and I'll run it by her and she's like, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. But then she'll give me ideas of like, all right, so if we can't do it that way, here's another way we can do it. Yep. And she's been amazing for that. And then just coming up with ideas. It's really nice for me personally. I can come up with an idea and then I can build it some. But if I have a person to bounce ideas off of, I can grow it so much faster. Right. So what you were saying actually reminded me, I did want to mention like back to, about when I started, you were talking about, you learned everything you could from this, like the people where you were sweeping and mopping and stuff. I worked at a TV station and they had an Emmy Award winning graphic designer, a motion graphic artist. And I was like, all right, I'm going to learn from this guy. So I would go to work, and I was supposed to be working in master control because I was working at a TV station and he was in production and he would basically sit on his computer and edit all day and he would make animations and stuff. So I would leave out of my room and go and hang out in his room and for like 4 hours. And then all of a sudden they would come up to me and be like, hey, why aren't you working? And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. So I would get both of us in trouble.
Yep.
Like I got written up several times for going and talking to him.
Wow.
And then he got written up for like allowing me to distract him.
Entertaining you.
Yeah. But so he would be working on something and then like, let's say it's in After Effects and I'm like, oh, how do you do that? And then he was like, cool, mm-hmm. let me show you. So he would like open up a new comp, show me from scratch how he did it. And then like, he would back up and then like close it. Once he was done, close it out and go back to working on what he was working on. And I slowed his work down so much, but I learned so much from him. And now I'm like, it was so, so beneficial for me to just find somebody who knew way, way more than I did.
Yep.
And that's one of those things, you know, that saying, it's like, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So it really, really helps to like go and find somewhere where you have so many people that you can learn from.
Yep.
That's
one of the reasons I got into teaching and mentorship.
Right.
I just enjoyed sharing. Finally, I had to, you know, all this useless knowledge inside my head. I had to share it. It had right. to come out somehow.
You know what's funny is when I was in college, I went to school like way, way late. It took me 16 years to get my associate degree because I had to pay for all my classes by myself. And I would take one class here and then I would take 3 years off and then I would take one or two classes and then because I had to pay for all of it. So
you're on the 30-year plan.
Right. Well, I got it back in 2017. I got my associate's degree back in 2017. But when I was going to these classes, I had already been doing all the stuff like we were doing like video production and we were learning 3-point lighting. And I'm like, oh, man, and we had to set up an interview. So instead of doing a typical standard interview, I made a whole talk show. On a green screen and I made an animated intro and all this kind of stuff. So, we'd be sitting in class and we would have an assignment to do. And obviously I'd get mine done super fast. And then everybody would be like, Rob, can you help me? Rob, can you help me do this? Finally, the teacher pulled me aside and he goes, Hey, have you thought about teaching?
Aww.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good sign.
That meant a lot to me. Right on. I was like, I love teaching people. I love like sharing my knowledge with people and stuff. Uh-huh. But yeah, that was super cool that he was like, have you thought about teaching? And I was like, sort of, but not really. So, but he didn't give me any information about how to go about learning how to be a teacher or whatever. So,
right.
But yeah, that was all. That's all my stuff. Right that's on. All I've got.
Cool.
Meeks, you got anything?
I don't really, not anymore. At least I have like a hard stop at like in 3 minutes.
I got too, that's so cool. That's perfect. That's perfect. I think we're done. All right, cool. So, all right, you guys, if you want, go check us out. We got a link tree. Normally, I would say all the little things that you could go check us out at. I'm looking at my camera here.
I know you are. I'm just being weird.
Oh, yeah. No, keep it up. Micah, can you be weird, too? My niece is texting me. She's asking me.
She goes, making a really weird face.
Actually, it's an improvement.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
So go check us out. Go check out our link tree. We've got all the stuff on there. Follow us and just keep watching our stuff and subscribe and you know, all that kind of stuff that people normally ask for at the end of videos. All right, I'm done. Thank you guys. We'll see you later.
That was fast. You might have slowed that down, Rob.
So you'll have the end credits. It's like a big pharma commercial at the very end.
Yeah.
May cause death.
My brother came up with one time that was like, he said, it causes like discoloring of teeth and tongue, fear of blankets.
Awesome. awesome.
I thought that was awesome.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, me.
Thank you. It was so nice to talk to you. Hopefully, if we do another podcast in the future, yep, which I'm sure we will,
I'm here. More specific topic.
And I
were a little more prepared.
Micah and I were talking about what were we talking about doing with the podcast? Like, it was going to be more of like news, like crazy wild news kind of stuff.